So we'll begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, June 8, 2015, at 6:31. First order of business is the review and approval of minutes from the April 13, 2015 meeting. Would you please take a moment and review those minutes and let me know if they meet with your approval?
I'm good, Bob.
Okay. Kirk?
Wasn't here, so.
All right, the second order of business then this evening is the 2015-16 copier bid paper results and purchase approval. This is something we bring to the Finance Committee and ultimately to the Board every spring. And what this is we go out to bid, and we had bids received on April 7th. We opened those, and Unisource, who has been a vendor for a number of years, was again the low bidder for this commodity that we purchase annually, with a low bid of $2,670 per case, or $48,700 for the year. So what I'm looking for is Finance and Facilities Committee support to move this forward for ultimate discussion and approval with the Board of Education.
We always ask, Bob, are we still seeing the reduction in number of paper that we're using?
Boy, I know Mike is certainly trying. You know, if we stick to this number here, it's still around 10 million pieces of paper a year that we purchase. So I know we're always trying to get there. I don't know that we're there yet.
Yeah. And if I look at the numbers from the year to last year, too, and
they
I'm
are.
Wondering, oh, there you go. See?
They are. I am. Carolyn, you recall any?
They're the same.
They're the same.
Not going to be at all.
So I guess that's something we need to continue to push forward with in terms of paper reduction.
This is just questions for me. Are we just running out of paper at the end of the year?
Just about.
Really?
Yeah, we're. I know Carolyn has a schedule set up where we're supposed to get a paper delivery once a month or whatever that case may be. And frequently she's getting calls from the building telling us that they need paper earlier than their anticipated delivery date.
This is something we got to. You know, Mike's ultimate vision with the laptops is that we're starting to reduce our reliance on paper, but that has not come to a head yet. We keep printing.
First graders are first graders.
Oh, but there's some paper that you have to have, but I would hope with more laptops in our hands, especially up at Hadley, mm-hmm. how much are we printing versus how much is on a laptop? But you're right. Some paper has to be there. We're never going to be void of that.
I mean, have we reduced from 5 years ago? Do you guys know?
We have been buying the same amount of purchase for as long as I've been here.
But in some ways, that may show that we're using less than that, maybe. You know,
mm-hmm.
But we'll continue to monitor.
I think it's a good question.
It's being used by the buildings. And we need to push back the buildings and say, you know, you need to reduce your consumption one way or another. So it's a thought. Any other conversations then? Then the next order of business this evening is the bid results, the Churchill Classroom Edition to replace remaining portables. As you know, this recommendation was brought to the board earlier this year that we would go out to bid to replace the second set of portables that currently sit in the parking lot at Churchill. And this has been through Finance Committee and the Board. Now we're back with our projected results. I think the results came back quite favorable to the district.
Sorry, no, that's okay.
I swear. In either case, we took the packages out to bid. There were 79 different contractors from various trades that submitted requests. The total of the low bids are $2,011,758. Jack is going to speak to that in just a moment. I wanted to let you know that obviously we're going to be discussing it this evening at the Finance Committee. It is up for discussion with the board again this evening and in final approval in June 22nd. And if all goes according to plans, we'd like to start this edition probably around the middle of August or so for completion in February, sometime in February. So I'm going to hand this off to Jack and let him do his part.
Okay. And with me tonight is Fred Morano, who some of you know, but Fred is our chief estimator and has been with us through the whole project and really runs this part of our operation. So he makes sure that the scopes are put together. He provided the original estimate range of 2.5 to 2.8. And really that was put together without documents. It was primarily an intelligent opinion of cost based on the previous construction projects that we had done at the other four schools. So fortunately, 2.5 to 2.8 all true. And when you add the bid cost for trade contractors with an appropriate contingency and the other allowances and fees associated with construction, we're just over $2.5 million. So we're at the low end of the 2.5 to 2.8 range. So based on the funding mechanisms that the board had previously gone through, we should be in good shape in terms of the construction cost. In terms of the bidding process, if you'd like, I'd be glad to go through the steps that are taken with that process, which includes the public bidding, pre-bid meetings, soliciting interest from contractors, making sure that everybody knows about it as much as possible, besides public notification in newspapers and trade journals. We do hold pre-bid meetings to answer questions and have contractors visit the site. And then we have the public bid opening, and the numbers that are presented are outlined in our letter, really Fred's letter, dated June 2nd, which we go through each bid package item by item to talk about the bids that were received. And Fred, maybe you could jump in here. Are there any bid packages that there were any irregularities with? Are they all low bid, low award contracts?
There might be a...
We should talk about number 16, the plumbing.
Okay.
For sure.
22. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Bid package. Bid package number 1-22, which is item 16 on page 3 of the letter, plumbing. We had an ironic situation occur, which we had two bidders with the exact same dollar value.
Wow. Did that ever happen?
Oh, yeah.
Once in a while, it does happen.
Yeah.
Exact same number.
Yeah.
So, why don't you talk about that?
We had two bids. One was commercial mechanical. They're out of Dunlap, Illinois, southwest. And Adler Plumbing, which is local here. Both bids were $83,000, and so I met with both contractors just to make sure that they were bidding everything properly and they had everything they were supposed to have. The one contractor, I believe, Adler, didn't have some unit prices, but he had followed up and had those, so it wasn't a big item. It's a minor regularity, really. And so we talked to both of them at the time, and he said, well, what we're going to do is get you together, we'll just flip a coin, and they're both agreed to that and said, yeah, it's the fairest way, was just flip a coin. So we have them in. I had another person with me in my office as well. And Adler actually called a coin and commercial won the bid. So the one that lost, I should say.
I don't know. Is that, why wouldn't we go with somebody like Volco? Why wouldn't we go with the Wheaton guy? Somebody that...
They're both good contractors. They're both working on the site. Adler worked on Franklin and commercial mechanical working on Churchill now. So they're both good contractors to say, okay, you're a local, we can use you. It's a possibility. I mean, that's your choice.
It's really your choice.
Yeah.
And we're open to that conversation. We wanted to get to this point so we could have that conversation. This is the manner that we've done it in the past. So we're treating them consistently with the way we've experienced this type of occurrence before.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they were tied. So
you worked with both of them before?
Yes.
Yeah, we have, and you have, essentially.
So Adler's done a lot of work for the district over the years.
Yeah.
Adler's the ones in Wheaton, right?
Yes. Yeah, they're right in Geneva.
Yeah. Well, I go both ways with this. I mean, I'd like to, you know, you kind of get local, you get local help, you get some reciprocity. But at the same time, if we've been doing them for such a long time, making commercial is come into your work and make sure Adler's doing what they always promise us, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. The one good item, I guess, that about commercial is they do both plumbing and mechanical, HVAC. They were the low bidder on the HVAC. Uh-huh. So in a way, we have one contractor doing both, which makes it nice. Same time, you could say, well, you already have this one, so just give the other one to the other guy. So I guess
you could talk yourself.
Or they price, they price it four different ways, right? That's why he says I'm doing HVAC, so I priced you the plumbing.
So really, that was the only. I think that was really the only.
Well, I'm not going to pretend I'm Joe and go through all of these one by one with you guys, but you know, we'll always ask the questions. Can you just kind of why we get the one bid off on a lot of these? You're going to get asked the same question.
We put it out. We talked to a bunch of people about bidding it. Some people say yes, we're going to bid it for you. Other guys saying, you already have Churchill going. You already got guys on the job. Why are we going to bid? We can't compete. The guys are already there. They're going to be cheaper than us anyways. That happened with, like, the glass and glazing. The hollow metal
doors.
It's always a tough one to get more than one bid. Sometimes when you spec a certain product, there's certain distributors that handle that product, and they get the best pricing for it. And the force happens to be one who handles this product more than anybody else. So they're always... get a lot of one bids for hollow metal hardware. Acoustical, again, there's Just Right Acoustics is probably the biggest acoustical contractor in the area. If it's a smaller job, you'll get a lot of carpenter bidding acoustical, but when it's a larger project, these guys, that's all they do is acoustical ceiling, so they're very economical. They buy it by train loads, so they're usually very competitive.
It is. There's a couple of these that you really have a hard time in a public bidding environment. Between the bonding requirement, the insurance requirements, and the prevailing wage, sometimes it's a little bit hard. But the big thing right now is we already have kind of a pool of contractors that are involved. And when it comes to some of these smaller contracts, the competing firms look at it and go, I don't know if I can compete against them. I've got enough summer work lined up or whatever. So
I'm just going to ask you the other side of the question. We're used to 3-4 bids coming in. I'm seeing 8 and 10. What's going on there?
We send out to a lot of bidders publicly, and we contact. We do a lot of
calling
to make sure you're bidding it. Do you have any questions?
Well, I'm sure you guys were doing that on the old stuff, right?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. The timing of this job is good. There's a ton of summer school work going on. So people have been out trying to get staff to get that work done. This job's starting right when the school is starting, essentially. So that work's done, and now this is an opportunity to keep those crews busy. So people are looking at it going, I need to get this job. It lines up well with
power. Part of this was trying to sell it. We weren't starting this job in June.
Right.
Because if we were, a lot of people said no.
So the masons, the plumbers, the larger trades that are labor intensive, they're trying to keep their crews busy.
Probably help the pricing part for them, right?
Yep.
If this job is bidding now, try to get it.
No. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah. No. I'm going to delay.
Okay.
Hurry
up. Let's be done. Come on.
We're done. Next item, Bob.
Sorry, I was like...
We've anticipated all your questions and already put them on record.
We're on the bid packages, Joe. So
Patrick did a nice job of representing you, though.
I scratched the surface.
Well, nobody can totally model that.
We got one bid under and then multiple bids over. So
right. You know, on all your one bids,
yep.
It looked like we used about two or three of them before.
We probably used all of
them. All of them before? As you can see, the insurance was already submitted on a couple of them.
Right. Yep, that was all the things we have done on your project.
So your total budget with the 5% contingency is $2,112,346, then, if I do my math right, and it's $2,011,758 with 5%, which puts you about $6,837 in your budget.
Well, when you add some allowances and general conditions and fees, we're at $2,563,000, basically.
Okay, but that includes all the soft costs, if you will.
No, that includes all construction costs, not just trade costs, but any allowances that we might have for unforeseen conditions, our fees, our general conditions, and so forth. Okay. So that's $2,563,000 is hard construction.
Okay.
And the preliminary estimate was 2.5 to 2.8.
Can Can you give us the breakout of that, those other general conditions and profit and all that in a nice little chart? Because it goes to $2,011,000 for the trades, $100,588 for contingency, and then the remaining you get to the 2.5 and changes.
We have 9 months of general conditions.
General conditions, insurance,
sure.
Overhead.
And then some general requirement allowances for.
It'd be good to just get that little
chart
so then we can compare it along the construction timeline.
You're not a problem.
And sorry, I'm late. I'm going to ask you one more.
You're not going to ask about plumbing?
No, it's just the drywall and perfect news.
Yeah, he was. A good number.
Yeah.
That's RB Construction.
And have they done work here before?
Yes, they have.
No, that's important because that number is.
They're in Villa Park. They're a good contractor. They were looking for work this summer.
Yeah, we were concerned about that.
I gave them an opportunity to review the bids, check it, make sure if you want us a job or let us know if you're not. Take it. And they said, no, we're going to take it if you want it.
And they had the right scope.
Yeah, they had the right product.
I mean, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Need more guys like that. To me, that's it. I think at the end, I just want to see the little,
sure.
The little chart.
How we got to the 2.5.
Yep, I get to it all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it all looks good. It's nice when you've seen the, it's like the fifth time with the fourth time we've seen this. Yep. It's a easier review. Appreciate it.
Can you guys explain, since I'm new to this, the hard and soft costs, what the difference are?
Sure. Hard costs would be everything that would fall under our responsibility for construction, including construction contingency, our fees, and then we also carry some allowances in the overall $2.5 million budget for things that may not be fully foreseen at this point in time, whether it be a utility allowance, a soils allowance. We might carry some money for site restoration that really won't be determined until all the trailers are gone and we're done with construction. So anything related to getting the building up and occupied for use. Soft costs would be architectural engineering fees, furnishings, equipment, technology. So kind of the things that we kind of refer to as silly, but if you turn the building upside down, anything that falls out is soft.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is hard, mm-hmm. including our fees.
I use that same example in insurance.
There you go.
You flip over is your personal property, the rest is your structure.
Yeah, and it's exactly what it is. Exactly.
Now, in the allowances,
did
is
you
your,
get that job?
I get that. Yeah, now I know in your world. In the premium time in the allowances? Or
yes.
How much?
Is.
How much?
I'm sorry. I meant to bring this.
I thought you did.
Well, everything else was so well explained. The only question.
I don't know if there's going to be too much premium time needed on this job.
Well, I hope it was up to you. I think we did put a modest premium allowance in here just to protect ourselves. Yeah, maybe $25,000.
Okay.
We'll do that as a little recap.
I kind of look at the premium time as a contingency.
It is. It is. Actually, a lot of those things are contingencies. So
right.
See how things play out.
Okay. Thanks.
But yeah, we'll get you that breakdown.
Any other questions then? Okay, and then I'll be back to present again at the for the board. The next order of business then this evening is supplemental pay recommendation, and Lori Campbell will be presenting that.
You see, hopefully, the report in front of you about changes that the supplemental pay committee is recommending. We met in March and then again in May, and just as a reminder, Eric and Elton Sussan, this is a board representative. It also includes Steve Dively, principal at Hadley, Kyle Peek, who's the athletic director at Hadley, but presented as a GEO rep. Wendy Pacini is my co-chair. She's an elementary music teacher at Lincoln. And Samantha Tribbley is instrumental music teacher at Hadley. So those are the people on the committee that take a look at supplemental pay and take recommendations for changes. So part of our work is adding new activities. Another job that we do is to take a look at existing activities and decide what could be sunsetted or eliminated or reduced or what's kind of out of date, and then making any changes based on changes to our structure. So in the recommendation, you'll see a couple of each. We are recommending elimination of the elementary bus supervision stipend at Forest Glen. It's been in existence for a long time. It's not in existence with the other elementary schools. Talking with the principals and with our committee, we feel like it was put in a long time ago when the bus first started at Forest Glen, and people just haven't kind of looked at that. So that's one thing that we're eliminating, recommending. The assistant track coach position we talked about back in March, and you know, here at Finance Committee, we did not take formal action, but we got direction from the board because we needed to do that right away. So here it is officially in here in terms of changing the group. We're adding, or we would like to add the Winter Walkers Club at Churchill that was piloted this year.
Can we ask you a question?
Oh, sure.
Going in order.
Sorry, I'm
Joe. The track coach, though, we added that in the spring for this school year.
Correct.
Okay, so only did we talk about it, but we made a formal approval to get that stipend.
Right, and I'm putting it in writing here.
This is for moving forward for 15 years.
This is catching up with the work that we did in March, getting it in a formal report.
Okay, gotcha.
And I'll slow down, I'm sorry. Winter Walkers Club is at Churchill, and that was an idea that was brought forth by the two elementary PE teachers there. They ran it this winter. It was great. Principal is very supportive because he said there are kids that oftentimes don't want to go outside in the winter. And they walk, they measured out the whole school. They walk up and down the hallways. One teacher's at one end, one at the other. They're counting laps. And they had like 125 kids in that first week. So that was awesome. They did run it all winter, and it did continue to be quite successful. Early supervision at Hadley.
Well, so that's specific to Churchill. Yeah. Is there any? I mean, it seems to me like it was a couple of PE teachers that decided to do this
right
on their own time. Is so now we're going to expand. It seems like it's kind of a volunteer thing for them, and now we're going to expand it to Pam. Is that?
Right. And so the process that we typically do is if there's a club or activity that teachers want to sponsor and they want it included in supplemental pay or to consider have the consideration for payment, it comes through our process, the supplemental pay committee. Other than that, clubs that happen at the school level can happen with principal's approval, you know, without compensation for that. So this gets it into kind of our formal structure, which is why there's association representation on this too.
And then do we have a parameter in terms of these stipends? I mean, do we have a not-to-exceed amount each year? Or
yes. How does that work out? Meaning an overall budget from that standpoint?
Yeah.
I know that's a budget.
And I could have missed it. I wasn't maybe paying attention to that specifically. But
It's included as part of the overall budget that you've seen, especially part of the building budgets.
Was there a discussion of inequity? Because is it like 1K through 5 and not at the others?
No, actually, when we talked about the clubs at Churchill, we've really been making an effort to offer more lunchtime activities there because of the crowding and B, because of the access for a lot of kids to take the bus after school. So we have made a concerted effort to reach out to Churchill and ask for additional activities.
Do you feel at Churchill that more kids stay at school for lunch, whereas the others?
They do. It's pretty much a closed campus.
Yeah. Right, whereas the other schools aren't. So I'm just trying to rationalize the inequity.
Yeah, no.
We talk about equity among K through 5 all the time, and mostly Churchill's seen as the one that's
on the other side of things.
So mm-hmm. I'm not trying to pick on Churchill. I'm just trying to understand if the committee discussed it.
We did, and it was a concentrated effort to reach out. In fact, Wendy Piccini, the co-chair, and I went over to Churchill and said, we typically don't support the lunchroom club activities because, you know, we want to make sure that these clubs are happening kind of after school time or before school time, but because of the situation at Churchill, we made a special outreach. And so we've seen more clubs there this year.
Promoting physical activity is awesome. There's no doubt about it. The Churchill, we just spent a lot of money so that they could have an outside area that is more ideal for use here. So, you know, we're creating a club. I think this is a good club to pilot test, but to keep an eye on. Because we're promoting something to stay in the school as opposed to getting outside and getting fresh air and doing that. And if we have overcrowding outside, then I 100% understand. But I think we don't now that we enhance the outdoor area of Churchill. right? I mean, what I'm saying is correct. Do we want to promote kids staying inside?
I think it's a good question, but I think it goes back to what the committee was talking about as well. How many after-school clubs does Churchill have the ability to offer? Because more kids ride the bus there than others. So you have many of those kids have limited access to a club, so they were looking at an opportunity to give kids more of an opportunity. So during the lunchtime. But I absolutely get what you're saying. Let's get them outside. Let's get them moving.
Make sure it's still really
going. Well, I think all these clubs, you guys do keep an eye on. We've talked about that before, and I think you do a great job doing that. And I always bring it up, you know, the track coach.
Mm-hmm.
Having another track coach, do we have the participation levels we need? You know, trying to make sure we understand our participation levels with a little more data-driven than just somebody telling me we have a lot of kids out there. This seems data-driven, so I like it. But, you know, I use the word inequity. It seems like one, but if there's a lot of after-school activities at other schools and there isn't a Churchill, maybe this is balancing the inequity.
That's what I'm hearing, Lori. That's what I'm hearing and why you made a special outreach to them.
Right, and just for more things for the kids to be doing. Giving them more
opportunities for enrichment and opportunities that they might not have outside of school day. That's where we were coming from with really targeting Churchill for a lot of the clubs and activities.
Do you have a sense of what the stipend analysis is for K-5? There are many at the K-5s. I mean, it's really the other K-5s, like at Lincoln and Forest Glen and Franklin. The instrumental music stipend, there's the choir stipend. There are a few clubs that started at Lincoln this year. There's a Webmasters Club, and then there was, one other, a STEAM club at Lincoln this year, too. So
and those are stipends.
Two new ones. Yeah, those are stipends.
Joe, I don't want to get into, you know, what the club should be doing and what the club shouldn't be doing, but Bob, did you tell me this? I was trying to find it as they were talking. This is part of the budget, right? Supplemental pay and part of each school. And we've gone over that number. So I would think that the schools are able to balance to the number that we've agreed to. I mean, we can definitely ask certain questions about clubs, but we've got a whole committee that said.
And I'm not, the overall budget, if we're within it, and they shouldn't be presenting if they're not. Within it,
right.
Is my feeling, and the recommendation doesn't say that they are. But then I think it's important for us to make sure the activities are appropriate, you know, the time of day, the activities for the children are right. And do we want our kids doing
that? But isn't that flushed out in that committee with the GIA and the board?
That's why I'm asking. Mm-hmm. I think my questions are trying to say, if the committee looked at this,
yeah.
You know, during lunchtime,
yeah.
You know,
okay.
That's different. You know, it's different. So if we don't
gives you reason for pause.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that through. It might be a great process. Mm-hmm. We might find out that every school ends up doing it. We have kids who are in much better shape in the winter. Because in the winter, we all gain a few pounds. I understand. It's hard to get outside. Well, not but, and then the inequities amongst, I was talking about.
Yeah, I knew.
and we always want to balance.
Yeah.
You know, we should be looking at that.
Yeah,
but I think it's. It's a fine. It sounds like a fine program, but I just have lots of questions because it's different than what we looked at before. But thanks for your answers today.
And Joel may have asked this question.
I may have ignored him,
but not intentionally. But so the number. What's the number here? The number of teachers that are. I mean, is it going to be both PE teachers?
It would be both because of the number of kids participating. So we're asking for two stipends that start out at $600 next year. So it'd be $1,200.
Yeah, that leads to my next question.
Now, did you never did ask that question?
No, I didn't, but I knew it was 2 times 600.
You can thank me later.
That's okay, because my next question is what I'm thinking now. Is when you got these tiers here, the right question. Steps?
Right.
Steps. What goes, and you said this before, but educate us again. Let's just go on group five where we're talking. Step,
sure.
I'm a new teacher, first year. Step two, 600. When's it go up to 700?
The next year.
And then when's it go up to 800?
The next year.
Okay. So once I'm at 3, I'm stuck.
Correct. Once you're at 4, you're stuck.
Which in group five, it's only 3.
Right.
And it's that too. So if we alternated teachers, we would save the $100. Okay. I got you. All right. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just
and if the teacher does it for 10 years, they're still
at that same.
I hear you. They're still at 800 in that case. Thank you for reminding me of that step system.
Well, and I, you know, we spend money around here that's a lot more than that. That's probably bigger fish for us to fry. But, and I guess, you know, that's fine if the staff sees a need for it. I don't know in terms of it's a closed campus. I don't know how many kids, as an example, at Franklin or Lincoln, but those areas they're eating in are much smaller areas as well. So Churchill is a much larger gym than anybody else has. So they may have more kids. But it's probably, in terms of actual space, it's probably not much different at Churchill than it is at Lincoln. I mean, the kids are crammed in at Lincoln as if they are at Churchill.
You're right. It's very true.
So if we're looking at us, if we're looking at, we think this is a good thing for the kids at Churchill to do, that's okay. I'm probably not going to buy into that, you know, it's inequitable at Churchill because they've got more kids there. They've got a larger space. So I think probably all three of the other schools are in the same position in terms of space. They're in smaller spaces with maybe smaller numbers of kids, but
sure.
And that would get hung up on the $600 to $1,200. But where it is different is kids can go home, so they do have the flexibility. And some kids at Lincoln,
they do, but the space at Lincoln.
No, I'm not talking about the space.
Kurt, I think when we were referring
to flexibility,
when we were referring to space, it wasn't in the eating space. It was more when you're the door recess, in terms of spaces to have the kids. That's where the heat was coming from in terms of space.
So if they
not
have
just the eating space, but I agree with you on the eating space. That gym at Churchill is much more spacious than the space where Lincoln or which they were Franklin.
Yeah, and I probably counter saying indoor recess probably just as tight as all those other buildings do. So
right, I know.
If we just think that the kids at Churchill need that because I mean they don't have some of the after school activities or something,
that's really
I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So the other stuff to me is just minutia, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, as far as that goes, it's the reality is all the kids are probably a little bit tight with indoor recess.
Indoor resources are pleasant for anybody.
Yeah.
So these kids have the option to do it indoor when there's outdoor recess. Okay.
Can we still do? I think it speaks a lot right there. Because they don't have to, they choose to. And then early supervision and hazard, we had talked about this with the, it was another piece that we had talked about with the elementary schedule, where if the schools are starting at the same time, what happens with parents that need to drive their kids to Hadley and to the elementary schools. So we had talked about having the kids dropped off at Hadley first, but we need someone to supervise the kids before that official supervision time period. So there are two stipends in there related to that for early supervision for the kids that are dropped off.
So those stipends may be used or may not be used based on what happens.
Number of kids.
You're holding two spots for now, but you only need one.
Right. Okay. I am the professor.
Do you guys have a thought process on number of kids?
Yeah, just based off of a few parent calls that we had, who were concerned about getting from one end of town to the other end of town. Mm-hmm. So other than that, we're assuming 20, 30 right now, mm-hmm. based off of the three or four phone calls that we received, but we'll see. I think it will, quite honestly, change from the early fall to the winter. I think we're going to see a large increase in the winter, trying to get across the town and hit tracks.
We would need to supervise for 20 to 30 students.
Yeah.
And then where would the kids go?
Cafeteria.
About the cafeteria.
Have to have a designated space.
Right. And that may change based on what's happening in the school at a certain time. But that was what the initial thought was. That's what happened. And then the last piece is about the timer, scorekeeper, and crowd control position for Hadley with the change in the conference. Positions and the amount of time that they need to spend doing that and the structure of those are changing. And so Kyle brought this to supplemental pay in terms of a realignment, because now the games, instead of having one game happening across town at the same time the game is happening at Hadley, they happen back to back. So there's that in between time in between the games. And so all of them are considered doubles and are lasting longer than they have in the past. So as a result, we also don't need as much crowd control, so we're bringing that rate down and increasing the timekeeper and the scorekeeper is our recommendation.
Is the rate on the crowd control for the double event come down on the new rate not as much because they're afraid they can't get people to hang around?
Can you say that?
Well, the crowd control, if you look at the single event, it's going from 40 to 25.
and then a double, it goes from 60 to 55. Is that just because they're afraid that with them having to be there longer, they may not get as many people to want to do it? Or
Kyle indicated that most of the kids are going home on the bus and not necessarily staying for the second game, so they really don't need the crowd control for the second game or stop them. They just need it for the first game. And we were also trying to be responsible. So for increasing one place, we were trying to find a place where we were. We would increase too. Just a little bit about that. So are you comfortable with my bringing this forward to the board and staying for discussion?
One question, additional cost and information that says none. There's no additional cost? Because I added it up and it seems that they're overall, you're adding stipends, right?
I interpret that to be outside of what we outlined up above. So, like anything else, like would there be like materials that you need for
fine.
Something? That's
gotcha.
How I view that.
Gotcha.
Good.
Thanks for your questions. I appreciate them.
Thanks, Lori.
And the next order of business then this evening is the Abraham Lincoln. It's a request for additional public space. I had a board member call earlier today and asked specifically where these cubbies would be going. So that's what you have, what I'm setting beside you. In the area marked in yellow is where the request for 94 additional cubbies would go. So we began discussing this update to the Lincoln LMC a number of months ago. Probably started in earnest in January, took us through spring to develop. It then went out to the architects for review. We brought in FQC, who took the project out for competitive bidding. The pricing came back better than what we had anticipated. And when we brought the recommendation, we reviewed it as administrators. We were requested to give some additional consideration to increasing the number of cubbies from 141 to 260-some with these 94 additional cubbies. Cost is approximately $13,000, with $6,000 allotted for installation. And it really was brought to us because of the request was really, it's a safety concern, trip hazards. Essentially, the kids have personal belongings lined throughout the area. I know myself, I've tried to walk through there at times. It's pretty well congested, especially during the winter, with everything from shoes to hats to coats to book bags to whatever the case may be. So the reason we didn't originally bring what we're calling priority C back to the board or to the board was because we were trying to keep under that $150,000 price for this area of construction. But when Jack came back with the pricing, we saw that a lot of us, some additional dollars, the request for the additional approximately $19,000 still keeps us under that threshold of about $235,000, which was the original estimate. And so that's the information I have to present this evening regarding this issue. Do you have any specific questions I might be able to respond to?
One of those pieces, as I was speaking to Linda about, you know, why would we continue to advocate for that? Just that main hallway where they have one coat hook currently for coats, and as Bob said, all the other miscellaneous items. Really feeling like that's a high traffic spot within Lincoln, and that the cubbies could help minimize the coats, the boots, the water, all the stuff that ends up right there.
Not to mention, you know, you're talking about that main hallway that goes east and west, right behind where the old tech lab used to be, is a very congested area too, with, you know, kids having a variety or different sets of shoes, of coats, and things of that nature. So there's some pretty significant congestion that occurs throughout that Lincoln LMC. So that's why we're bringing this second request back to you.
Bob, are these the same lockers that we put in at the other, like when we removed the portables? I mean, there was conversation about these were built for.
These are the cubbies that we're bringing back that we put in the new additions, very similar to those.
But there, at those new additions, there was conversation that those cubbies were actually too small.
To widen the cubbies for. so their big down coats can all fit in there.
I'm pretty sure we did design these as they were originally outfitted for the addition.
It's the same ones that are
yeah.
the same the ones. Brand new ones I see up in Franklin.
Yeah. Because that was an early concern. I'm just going back because I remember, I think you and I were standing there when a teacher was asking us about that, and I went back to both the principals and asked, is that continuing to be an issue there? And they're saying, no, that early on it was, but it was more of organization. How do you put your stuff in there?
Okay.
So I remember, because you and I were standing right there,
right.
and somebody asked us early on about that question. But I did circle back.
Okay.
I would just this one obviously is a hot button for me. So I guess I'd make one comment. If it wasn't needed to begin with, it's probably not needed now. So for me, you know, if you save some money, my dad said save it. You know, just because you have it doesn't mean you have to spend it. So I'd be opposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Spending the extra $18,000, you know, I could probably buy an acre a year or something. Drill down and help kids, and then I'll just make my, you know, this is a think tank. This was created because of think tank, and it was created because now we're moving the kids through the building. And if they had their own classroom, we were told during think tank that it was going to cost us one dime. And so here we are again. Now we need more cubicles. We'll probably need a walking club soon because it's so tight in the building, you know. So, anyways, those would be my comments. I would be totally opposed to. I say, you know, I'm opposed to the project, but I would say I'd be opposed to adding the $18,000. So.
And to add what Kurt said, I concur that if you're saving money, let's just save it. The one caveat I will say, it is if you had to make a decision, and you made one, and made your recommendation before, if it's going to add to the safety of our children, then I leaned the other way. So, but I agree with the comment about Think Tank. Think Tank, when it was presented way back when, a couple boards ago, it did say no additional cost. This is an additional cost because kids are moving between classrooms. So I agree with that. I have one other comment.
Just on that Think Tank.
I was going to disagree with you for one more comment.
Though. Just on the Think Tank piece. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. I forgot.
I apologize. On the think tank piece, Linda did, you know, discuss that. Again, I wasn't here for the think tank recommendation, but Linda did say at that time, what they had in the closets within each of the classrooms were the coats and stuff. But what they didn't have in their classrooms were all the boxes and material that they had to stack up top that became somewhat of a safety hazard and accessibility for teachers to be able to get their boxes down from there. So she didn't believe that it was an additional cost from Think Tank by moving teachers. It was, we're either putting kids' stuff in our closets or we're putting teacher materials in here. One or the other has to be outside of the classroom. So I just wanted to bring that up because she did speak about that.
I listened to that and
okay.
say that was hogwash.
I'm
honest about that because I went back and asked teachers about it because one of the things she told Stephanie and I was that that if a teacher was in the moment and needed something, well, that doesn't happen. Those kinds of things, they're prepared for in advance. They've got those boxes down. And they're using those things out of those boxes. So almost nil in terms of the teachers I've talked to would they say, oh, you know what, I've got something in that box up here and it's a teachable moment right now. So Linda can spend it however she wants to. The reality is this is a cost of Think Tank. And the kids put their coats in there. I had two kids that were there. They were in the same classroom all day. And we were told repeatedly that this was not going to cost us any more money. And it is costing us more money, and that means that we weren't truthful to the taxpayer.
Here's
so it's a hot button issue.
Right. So. We got other agenda items, but duly noted, prepared duly noted for Linda. But was this when you talked to the teachers? Was this post before?
It was after Stephanie and I met Linda. I went down and talked to some teachers and said, "This is one of the things that we're being told." Did that actually happen? Because I do.
So this went through on the board. Though. I just want to make sure.
No, I didn't. It was right before. It doesn't matter. I talked to them and they said those were boxes of maybe science things, but those were things that would have been pulled down prior to.
No, don't repeat. Because we got a lot of other stuff. When I go through the number. I'm going to talk to you about this later. When I do the per cubby thing, I think there's in the first set of cubbies, 141, there's another number in there. But I'll talk to you about it later so we can move our way through the agenda. Okay. Thanks.
Okay, then the final agenda item this evening is a review tentative budget feedback from the Finance Committee as a whole. As you know, we have Carolyn there and Nancy taking notes, and I have a couple of pages of notes here that I think captures essentially what each individual board member has requested of us. The plan is that today, I just wanted to give you a little feedback in terms of what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. Today we essentially, I ran a report through our Skyward system, and what that does is that shows us our year-to-date activity. So I'll be taking all the various departmental and building budgets, and when you see that 14-15 activity column, it will have activity that was entered as of when I ran that report this morning. So from here on out, my calendar essentially looks at, by the end of this week, I will be giving Paul all of the updated information for review so that we can spend the weekend, so we as an administrative team can spend the weekend asking questions, you know, answers, so forth and so on. Next Monday and Tuesday, we're actually going to roll into finishing off what the final product is going to look like. And then next Thursday, it is our intention, a week from Thursday, to finish that packet up and turn it over to you board members. I did want to say, though, that if we captured two pages of notes, I believe that we've captured everything that you've asked for, and the items that you've asked for will be included as a final product that will be submitted as part of the 2015-16 tentative budget.
So you get two things. You'll also get the tentative budget, but you'll also get a document that lists all the questions and then the responses to each one. So there will be two separate documents you'll receive.
Okay. So
with the changes within the
embedded in there.
Yeah. Okay. Just
so we can make it easy for us when we're looking at these budgets, because you're not going to redline the budget. I take it like if you had a redline doc. So if I had a question and it's answered on page 21 of the budget, that item says,
yes,
leads us to page 21, so I can just flip to it.
That's exactly how we have it listed.
Okay.
Page number, the person who asked it.
Yeah. That item.
Yeah, that's what we've got. And, and then the question, and then the answer within the text itself.
I have two questions, or one request. One is, sooner you get it to us, the more time. So if it's done Wednesday at 9 a.m.,
get it to you.
Please get it to us. I mean, you guys are doing a great job getting ready, getting out. We all have busy schedules, and the more time we have to review it, the sooner we can get back questions for the 20 seconds, because it's really important. So I appreciate the format in which you're delivering it, because it'll make it easier to review. It should be a much quicker review, if we can remember from a couple weeks ago. My other item is, I did want to point out, Kurt, you brought up some proposals last time. One was the PBL staffing. I looked into, there's four staff members, Hillary, Christina Kellum, Kayla Wheeler, and Sarah Rodriguez. I looked at the reduction in force on that. Now, going back to my recollection, the best I can do is that basically, these are coaches, Paul. What you had indicated is they'll eventually coach themselves out of a job.
With any coach, that what you would is exactly what you want.
Right. So it's hard to look at it as a, you know, I mean, would you end up with one eventually? I don't know that I ever envisioned them all leaving in my mind, but I don't know what the end was in your mind, but I kind of always saw one being here as a global coach, if you would. But if it was all four, the reduction in force, the looking at that salary, because I don't think you can look at those four individuals that I named their salaries, the savings to the budget would be, I do an 80% above their salary to capture the other 20% of
benefits.
Yeah, benefits. Thank you. And that's roughly, it's $299,410. So I just wanted to get out there.
That's reduction in force for this year?
That would be for the budget for next year. Taking the budget as we saw it, I think of this year's salaries at 80%.
Okay.
I think I'm right. I'm backing into the current salaries with the increase based on the GIA contract.
So
that's it.
Well, that math.
So I'm not following you. The RIF is you're making.
I'm assuming that those four teachers, that Hillary, Christina, Kayla, and Sarah, would be not. You wouldn't fire them. That they would still have jobs within the district based on tenure here. So you go.
You're assuming if we back them back into a teaching job.
Yeah.
Because that's how my mind works. Because it's a reduction in force. I mean, you.
But you're making an assumption.
That's why I'm giving my assumption. Their salaries combined.
To me, it's just the real number.
The real number is 445, 772.50.
Yeah, it's four.
So it's 445. I do the 20% increase. But I think it's more of a reduction in force question in my mind. But I do want to bring back when I recollected when we first approved this that there was this idea that they would be coaching themselves out of a job. The other one, I think, is the FLESS program where we initially had 10 positions we thought we were going to need. Katie presented at our budget, and that's why it's important to discuss here, that we're at 8. So those 8 individuals are specifically hired for those positions, and I don't think there's a reduction in force, but maybe Lori can talk to us on that. With getting rid of that program for your proposal, this would be the bigger number, not the reduction in force number. With the 20%, you're at 681.711.
I didn't say get rid of any program. I said we should review programs.
I think
in terms of full-day kindergarten.
My interpretation.
No, it's it. Don't put words in my mouth. What I'm saying is, if we were looking at full-day kindergarten, we need to find a way, if we're going to do that as a community, where we do not go out and ask them. They're not going to approve an referendum. We shouldn't even be asking them for that. Secondly, if we go out and say that we need full-day kindergarten, we do not need to be asking the community to pay anything more for an added program. So then we have to prioritize our programs. I gave you some examples of programs that could offset that, like any business would maybe offset within their budget. And so that's where I'm at in terms of that. I didn't say eliminate any programs, but if we're adding full-day kindergarten, everything that we've got, plus any of those programs that we have, PBL coaches, they're all on the line to show me their benefit or that benefit and the offset to that to full day kindergarten and look at those things. Is full day kindergarten from a priority standpoint that much more important to us than the FLESS program or whatever? So that's the point I'm making. So don't
I agree with that. I think what I heard you say, and I'll go back to the tape, and that's why I looked into it, Kurt, was that if you had to choose one, I would get rid of the PBL coaches. That's what you said when we were here. I'll go review it because it's on tape. That tape didn't have bad audio. So I'll review it. And then
do you want to spend your time doing it?
No, because well, you're...
You ever want to listen to my three voice? I would say on record today, if I happened to say that, don't know that I did. But and if you want to go back and listen to it, you're more than welcome to spend your time doing it. But I would say that those kinds of programs are getting up to the numbers that we need to get to. That's why I made the statement. We can argue about a $1,200 stipend to a teacher for a program at lunch. They add up, but those are small potatoes too when we're start talking about $750,000 and what's the offset. So you have to find programming or areas that maybe I find not as beneficial to our system and teaching our kids as need to be, and then do we look at those as offsets? That's what I would go on record as saying here right now.
Well, good. So I'm glad you're on the record saying that. I'd ask you not to be so flippant with.
Well, you're putting words in my mouth, so
don't be flippant about my
put words in my mouth. Well, you've already cut me off once, and we should move on. So. You know.
I'm just trying to get the chair of the committee, and I'd like to get the agenda rolling.
Okay.
So that's all I ask her. If you want your time, just let her ask her. But your points were well taken, and I spent the time researching.
No, I appreciate that.
Too, so I could understand the numbers, because when you do say something, the numbers behind it have meaning, versus $1,200 versus $687 or whatever.
Right.
So I think that was doing...
No, and that's why we were. No, I understand, and that's why we've done. You know, Stephanie, I've done our homework.
The last statement I will say on it, though, you know, we do have a long-range plan that has an educational model, and we need to work within that. But always at the finance committee, it's good to look at the numbers for things that people potential things for priority. T
Okay. Was that?
And those are the things that I'm talking about. I'd like to speak at the finance committee, Joe. You know, start tabling some of those five-year plans, some of those discussion items, so we can say, okay, in 1, 3, 5 years, this is where we want to be from a budgeting perspective, and start working our way those so we can have achievement goals for the first year, the third year, and a five-year goal to get there. Now, taking into account all the programs and all the conversations we need to have, those are the finance conversations that I think I want to start kicking off.
Now,
right. I mean, we're not supposed to have July meetings, but you know, August, and we're not going to have July meetings. Right?
What do you? Okay, Bob has one more thing, so we got it. You got 2 minutes.
Summer bill pay. As you know, we don't have any meetings during the month of July, but I still need to pay bills to contractors, to vendors, whatever the case may be. So what I'd like to propose is that typically when we would have that first meeting in July and then that second meeting in July, I will be emailing the Finance Committee a list of bills. If you have, and I'll send that out on a Thursday before of what we would typically have a board meeting. I would request that you review those bills, that you get back to me, let's say by Monday with any questions. I'll respond accordingly to your questions, to answer them to the best of my ability. Then my plan would be to release those bills that Tuesday morning. Sort of, I know it's not written in stone, but it sort of follows the same cycle that we do. But again, I still have a lot of work that needs to be done over the summer, and I just wanted to make sure that you're aware. That's my proposal in terms of how we pay bills this summer. So,
all right. With that,
okay.
Thank you, everybody.